Welcome to Organic Sexuality, where we explore the restoration of pleasure, the reclamation of sexual sovereignty, and the realization of our embodied sexual nature. An invitation to honor the pleasures of your body by embodying the pleasures of your nature. I'm your host, Rahi Chan. I'm a certified somatic sex educator, sexological body worker, and creator of somatic sexual wholeness. Before today's interview with Craig, an announcement about a new somatic sexuality practitioners training taking place both online and in Ireland that I will serve as part of the faculty. Meta DNA and Ecological Bodywork with Nara Wilder. All details about the 9-month practitioners training, subjects covered, and teachers can be found at wildsexuality.com/practitioners-training. You can enter WILDRAHI as a coupon code upon registration for a 500 euro discount. Today, we invite Craig Cullinane to the podcast. Craig's journey of erotic and sexual embodiment and liberation is a beautiful trajectory of love, service, and dedication. His transformational spiritual erotic experience, first as a participant in a body electric workshop, led to assisting, then teaching, and eventually directing the Body Electric organization, guiding it into new realms of inclusion and expansion. He shares candidly essential elements of his various experiences as a participant that became the ingredients to sacred space-holding containers as a teacher and as director. He also shares the incredible gift that the Body Electric plays in offering safe spaces for all communities. So today I'm very excited to invite Craig Cullinane to the podcast. A little bit about Craig. He just finished serving as the director of the amazing Body Electric School for the last 4 years, and he served on the Body Electric faculty for more than 10 years. As a coach, he supports his clients in centering their most treasured desires with simple habits that translate into real results, which is what we all really want. For 6 years, Craig was the director of programming for Rehabilitation Through the Arts, RTA, inviting incarcerated people into a process of growth and healing through artistic expression. Craig also holds a master's degree in service leadership and management. Very cool. From the SIT Graduate Institute. A little bit about the Body Electric, in case you're not familiar with them. Their mission: the Body Electric School offers expertly guided educational experiences grounded in the erotic and its integration with the sacred to foster transformative personal and communal healing. They have a number of guided principles. The ones that really jumped out at me is that the work of the Body Electric is sacred. The practice of staying in heart connection with self and others, cultivating the experience of wholeness, and that the Body Electric is a movement of liberating erotic aliveness. Craig, thank you so much for being with us today. This is fantastic.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here with you. Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, as I was sharing with you before we started recording, my very first experience of conscious, intentional cultivation of embodied sacred erotic energy was through a 2.5-day workshop with the Body Electric. This was in 1990. I wasn't sure what I was getting myself into, to be honest with you. I was 24. I was the youngest person in the class.
Wow.
There were like 25 or 30 other men, and using breath as the engine, we rebirthed ourselves using erotic energy. And I was like electric and buzzing for like a week after that.
Yes, absolutely.
Craig, I can say it changed my life because it really took me on the trajectory of what I've been doing since.
So it changed my life too, for sure.
Yeah. So
can I
want to
ask you a question.
Yes, of course.
Can I ask you a question? Yeah. How did you find your way to it? How did you get there?
So back in the 90s, there was a really cool holistic bookstore called the Bodhi Tree here in Los Angeles. And, you know, back then I was in acting school. I was still a student. And I went to the Bodhi Tree and I just saw a flyer for it. And I don't even remember what it said, but somehow I was guided to it.
Sacred erotic angel put that flyer up just for you.
Exactly. totally. And thank God I just followed my way over there. So Craig, I love starting these interviews by asking our guests about the pivotal junctures in their journey of erotic embodiment and how that led you to the Body Electric. I'd love to know about your path and what erotic angels guided you to experiencing the journey you have.
Boy, gosh, that's such a good question. Well, you know, I grew up in a very kind of, I grew up in an Irish Catholic New England family, and there was nothing about sex, and everything was secret and hidden and, you know, in the closet and under the bed and, you know, and just, you know, there wasn't a lot of conscious erotic anything, you know, other than don't do it or something that wasn't spoken about. And I think I kind of emerged from that in the world when I left my family's home at 18. I actually had a deep experience of holding and carrying a lot of body shame, a lot of chronic body shame that I think a lot of people experience. I think a lot of, you know, queer men experience body dysmorphia. And it was really kind of crippling for me. It was, you know, I couldn't take my shirt off at the beach. I couldn't, it was such a wall for me for intimacy with men, erotically, sexually. I mean, I came out when I was like 19, but it was like, you know, I wasn't going into erotic or sexual experiences with people with a lot of intention or with a lot of the capacity to really stay and be with it and explore pleasure or any of those things. And I mean, on some level, I think, you know, that comes later as you mature. But I really walked with a lot of shame, and it was painful and difficult, you know? And so for me, I was in kind of a life change in my life. I had been living in New York City for many years, and I'd had a lot of sex. I had a lot of encounters with folks, and I, you know, in some ways enjoyed it. But it was the first time I took Body Electric. I was 33. I was living at East Mountain, which is a gay men's retreat center in upstate New York. I had finished up my time in New York City and I was about to go to graduate school and I had the summer off. So I lived there. And the deal was that if you live there, if you work there, you can take a workshop of your choice. That's kind of like the work study part. And at the end of the summer, Body Electric came in. And you know what? I didn't even know anything about it. I didn't honestly know what it was. I hadn't heard that much about it, but something deep inside me said that.
Wow.
Do that. You know? And I listened and I went and, you know, not to talk a lot about what happens in the workshop, but one of the things that does happen is this very, very beautiful and honoring undressing ritual where you are sort of consciously undressed and these layers of separation, these metaphors of clothing of your layers of separation are peeled away in this very beautiful and honoring way. And it was so deeply touching to me. It just healed something inside. Something about honoring my body, honoring, and just acknowledging how much of this negative thought I had about it and how hard that was. And something kind of shed or opened up or something. And then I went through the process of the experience and I got into my body. I got into pleasure. I woke up pleasure. I woke up the breath. I woke up all of it. And in the end of the experience, I had a very deeply profound personal kind of, I guess, I mean, I don't know. I can only say it was like a connection to the divine.
Wow.
I was kind of wrapped up in this sheet and I felt like I was completely merged with all things. Like I wasn't experiencing separation. It's like I had come home somehow to some deep connection with all things. And something just fell away that I didn't need. And I emerged from that. And that really began a major journey for me in my life. I mean, I took the workshop again. I started assisting them. I was the coordinator in Boston, joined the faculty. So Body Electric and that experience is definitely the most profound, single moment of, you know, a portal into healing, aliveness, connection, service.
Yeah.
You know, I say the Body Electric is the work of love.
Mm-hmm.
It's the work of loving ourselves, our bodies, other people, the world, you know? So, I would say that.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's so amazing the way you describe it. And it really speaks to that principle that the work of the Body Electric be sacred. I mean, I hear the sacredness of that unclothing ritual. It was a ritual, really. It was like this.
It was a ritual.
This beautiful, you know, honoring ritual. And when you're being witnessed with such reverence and you know, sharing that experience with other people.
Yes.
It's just, wow.
And I just want to say there was something important about me walking to that and through that myself and facing myself and being with my fear as I walk through it and to be held by all these other people who are walking through their own fear. Like we were all in it together.
Yeah.
Something very powerful about that. Go on. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm glad you underscore that because I do think there's some sort of creative collective alchemy that happens when everyone is breaking through, you know, their previously, you know, shame barriers together, you know, there's just kind of an unleashing of this like stored energy that everyone, it's palpable. Everyone can feel it. Craig, I want to ask you because you were, you know, you've been on faculty for over a decade and you've been director of the Institute. And I'm guessing that, you know, really was like metabolizing and unspooling that shame and guilt, especially from our developmental years, you know, is such a core part of the experience. In your years of teaching and directing, I'm wondering if you could share some insights as to what you feel really contributed to the space allowing for that, for participants, for specifically, because shame can go so deep, especially with our sexuality, you know, in our bodies. And, you know, the experiences of the Body Electric have been so, you know, like, skilled at really holding that safe container and allowing, you know, this kind of thing to unravel. What do you feel like? Because we have a lot of somatic sex educators in our audience and, you know, a lot of what they deal with are clients who have a lot of shame about their body, their sexuality, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, you know, I think one of the things I think that Body Electric does really well is care for the participants. Like we have a deep instinct and the teachers that I've had have a deep instinct about how do we hold not only the individual, but the group with such care and with intention, right? And so of course we have very clear norms and agreements and practices that we come back to again and again. And you know, what I notice, I just taught last weekend in New York City and what I notice is once those norms and agreements are in place, once people begin to feel like they can settle in and their body begins to get, oh, this is going to be all right. They're caring for me. I'm safe. There's options for me if I don't want to participate or if they're, you know, if I need to get out of, you know what I mean? Once their body starts titrating and the nervous system starts to settle and they really get, okay, I'm okay. Then it's actually not very challenging anymore. It's like some deep love or the best parts of ourselves have permission to start activating. And I talk about that a lot. We talk about that a lot, that the Body Electric Workshop and other places too that do this well. It's a place to practice the best parts of ourselves. It's the place to have a space where you can practice being the most generous, the most involved in your own self-care. Who am I as a giver? Who am I as a receiver? Can I have the space to really listen deeply to what I'm available for and what I'm not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think that what it does is it allows, because, you know, I kind of think about shame and guilt and all of that. It's like this shroud.
Yes.
That obscures the truth of our worthiness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the truth is we're worthy. The truth is we're love. The truth is we're goodness. And the shame stories and the guilt stories, they are a shroud. And once those begin to soften, and once breath comes into the picture, and once we wake up a little bit and activate that life force within us, some of that shroud begins to fall away. Mm-hmm. And some of the natural worthiness that lives in all of us takes more of center stage. Mm-hmm. And then the question becomes, how do we get in relationship with that? How do we befriend the truth of our inner worthiness?
Mm-hmm.
And the and in my experience, one of the things that Gaudi Electric is beautiful for is that we get to practice that. How can I really hold space for another person's process with compassion? How can I listen deeply? You know, when we start practicing those things, all of this goodness starts to flow. Mm-hmm. It just has to.
I love all of that. So, you know, what I'm hearing is, you know, like the deep care, the safety, and it's really like, you know, what you said earlier about people having the choice to participate or not. It's like you're giving agency, you're kind of restoring agency and free choice to their body. And within such a container where there is this impeccable, you know, kind of standard that everyone agrees to of holding space, giving and receiving, like the natural life force can like really claim the space.
Yes. And it wants to. It's
absolutely.
You know, it's like when we stop giving so much of our energy to all of the things that block it, it's going to flow. And then you know, and then that's such a wonderful thing to be like, well, what does this feel like? Mm-hmm. How does it feel in my body to have my energy be flowing? What does it feel like in my body to experience pleasure? To get in relationship with pleasure. You know, one of the great tantra principles, pleasure is healing, of course.
Yes, of course. Yeah, so powerful, so powerful. So, you know, something else I wanted to ask you about, Craig, is, you know, I'm curious about, you know, people say, you know, if you want to learn something, study it. If you want to master it, then teach it. And, you know, I know you've been teaching for over a decade, you know, with the Body Electric as well as directing it. I'm wondering, when you stepped into the role of teacher, you know, after you had, you know, taken the courses, been really, you know, your life changed, you assisted, and then you started, you know, you got on the faculty. Did that, do you feel like that really kind of like, you know, put you on the fast track of your own kind of erotic IQ and your own kind of awareness of your body's eroticism? And if so, I'm wondering if they were, if there were specific junctures that really kind of, you know, expanded that for you as a while you were teaching.
Yes. Well, you know, it's great. It's really wild because and also like I have my stuff. You know, I have the ways that I'm not actualized, or I have the ways that I'm, you know, the parts of me that that are not as realized as I would like, and all of it's in the mix. And then there's all these other ways that I've kind of flowered and unfolded as an erotic being in the world. You know, I think one of the biggest journeys for me personally, you know, I'm just such a natural extrovert. You know, for whatever reason, like that's how I am. Like I'm so relational and I'm so about like how I experience the energy of groups and how that impacts my energy. That for me, the new frontier was really slowing down and really going inside and really being willing to quiet down enough and have the courage to just feel what I feel. You know, I think that all of us can be so distracted, of course, and why wouldn't we be in this world and all this? But to actually do the simple yet not easy task of just touching base, slowing down, giving my attention to what's actually alive in my body and my feelings, cultivating that relationship, that capacity to stay, to learn to stay with whatever's happening.
Whatever's happening.
Mm-hmm. Whatever's happening. That, more than anything, has been my major learning edge as a person and as a facilitator of this work. And I notice more and more, you know, because I think at first, when I first started teaching, I was like, it was all about the drumming and the music and the show of it and the energy, and all that's beautiful and all that's part of it too, and it's useful. But now what I notice is I'm a lot more about, let's take that sacred pause. Let's just, you know, slow your touch down. Mm-hmm. Let it come to stillness. People receiving touch, take a breath. What are you feeling now? What are you aware of? Let's cultivate and right now practice our capacity to stay and to actually discern what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
As an entry point for greater pleasure, for greater self-awareness, for greater love. So for me, I'd say like that is the has been a major arc in my personal learning. And of course, it's about, you know, I can see the ways that I like, as a mechanism, a defense mechanism, or a strategy of managing my feelings, like just, you know, how I can seek comfort instead of staying, you know, and how I want to avoid bad feelings or feelings that are painful, or avoid feeling shame. Shame doesn't feel good.
Sure, sure.
You know, and it's kind of like, okay, well, here it is. You know, and I'm learning more and more that if I can stay with it, it actually transmutes. It actually has a chance to leave and become something different.
Yeah. You know, Craig, I love what you're sharing, because this is where I think eroticism is really spiritual. Mm-hmm. When we slow the process down, as you described, and we're just being with what is, it's like it opens up our capacity to be with this infinite space of being. Yeah. And part of me wonders, like when you described your experience at the end of that first, you know, body electric weekend workshop, where you just felt this wholeness, this like oneness with everything. You know, I mean, yes, it was the breath, it was being embodied, but I also wonder if it was really, you know, being so profoundly with exactly what is, that there's no separation between your experience and the whole of everything.
Yeah. That's how it felt. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of rare, but familiar somehow still.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Well, I think it's familiar because it goes back to, you know, the wholeness of being in the womb, or, you know, maybe even before that. You know, I think the body remembers that sensation, that experience. But, you know, I really feel like, so, because, you know, when you describe that at the end of the workshop, how you felt this sense of universal wholeness and oneness, I felt that too at the end of my weekend workshop. And I feel like, you know, the keys are simple, but they're very profound. You know, the container of safety and permission, you know, it does require people to really put their egos aside and come with heart and service. But I feel like it can be a gateway to this, like, spiritual, I don't know, this spiritual embodiment experience that I'm sure a lot of body electric graduates and people can relate to.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I want our audiences to know what some of those simple yet profound principles and practices are. You know, I mean, you had shared in one of the blog videos on the BE site, you know, some of these tools of really exploring the whole body as the terrain towards eroticism. Mm. You know, as an example, but I'd love for our audiences to know what some of the simple key practices are within the body electric workshops that they can explore at home.
Right. Yeah, no, it's wonderful. Well, you know, there's a wonderful quote by Stuart Wilde. How do you make something sacred? You say, this is sacred, and then you treat it that way. Mm. And I think that, you know, that's part of it. It's like, you know, sacred, it's an interesting word. Mm-hmm. And it means different things to different people. And it's not necessarily religious, or it's more like, what do I vest with importance? Mm-hmm. What do I say is meaningful to me? And I think an also useful question is, what do I wish was sacred, but I don't treat that way?
Mm-hmm.
Good question, right? It's like, you know, what do I wish I gave more importance to? I know, if I really ask myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I have the great pleasure of teaching a weekly online course. It's called Men's Morning Erotic Practice. Mm. And it's kind of like a yoga, erotic yoga class where I guide people through an experience of breath work and self-touch and self-pleasure. Mm. Mm. And there's meditation and there's a little group connection. And I would say, you know, again, what you were saying about this video blog, you know, I like to say, you know, this idea of awakening our entire body as an erotic organ. Like our skin is our largest organ. And it's kind of like moving the attention away just from the genital to the whole body. So I honestly think that one of the greatest things that we can do is just take a little time just to put our hands on our own body and touch our skin. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like imagine you're like just covering your skin with some wonderful honey love lotion or something, or just slowing down enough to touch your own body. Mm-hmm. Simple, but profound.
Profound.
And I don't think people think about it. It's like, you know, we need soothing. Uh-huh. You know, sometimes there's not someone there to do that for us, right? We can do it for ourselves. And if we just place our hands on our own body, you know, for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, and just offer ourselves touch, maybe not even necessarily in an erotic way.
Right.
Right there is just a huge practice, I think.
Yes.
I think the practice of getting intentional about erotic pleasure, self-pleasure. You know, we have so many stories in culture about masturbation and wrong and bad and shame systems and all of it. But, you know, there are lineages and practices about if we tap and raise and spread erotic energy in our body, it is a source of aliveness, creativity, health, longevity, connection,
intuition,
meaning, intuition, spirit, everything. But, you know, we have, you know, in Body Electric during the intro weekend, there's always kind of a sex talk, you know, and I always start it by saying this kind of cheekily. I say, perhaps like me, when you were 13 or 14 and becoming pubescent, the elders of the village brought you to the temple of Eros to instruct you in all of the, you know, great lineages of pleasure and, you know, erotic aliveness, right? And everybody just laughs, of course, because nobody had that experience. Because culturally, we're so terrible at erotic education.
Sure.
In this world.
Yes.
It's so filled with shame. It's so misguided. And it's like, you know, you look at, you know, the impact of pornography, and it's just, you know, that's where people are learning. And I ask this question, like, you know, what did you learn about masturbation and where did you learn it? Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating to hear what people say about, you know, a magazine that my dad had or my brother had under his bed or you know, more and more, of course, it's pornography with younger people. That's their first entry into sexual anything. Mm-hmm. And so going back to your first question, I think one of the most profound and simple things people can do is turn off the screen and make a date with your erotic self.
Yeah.
Like spend 20 minutes. Like what would it mean if I like put on some music, got some lube and just pleasured my body and you know, used my breath. The breath is another fundamental piece of it all. How do I activate my breath for pleasure? The more I breathe, the more I feel. But if we can think to ourselves, like, how can I get there? How can I get to 20 minutes of just offering myself nourishing, yummy, erotic touch? And you don't even have to ejaculate if you don't want.
Right.
And actually, that's interesting too. You know, there's a big story about ejaculation, you know, like the Taoists in 500, you know, BC China were experimenting with going long periods of time without ejaculating because they believed that our ejaculate was our source of power and healthfulness. And they would say that ejaculating depletes our energy and our life force, right? So I would say, can I touch my body? Just spend time touching my own skin. Can I create a little space to explore pleasure, erotic pleasure, without mm-hmm. screens? Can mm-hmm. I activate my breath, cultivate my mm-hmm. breath as my friend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And scheduling some pleasure yes. time, some exploration time. Scheduling. Yeah. Yeah. Because it starts to build a muscle, right? It starts to build like a work, like a muscle around the erotic, around embodiment, around self-loving.
Yes. Yes.
And that can evolve into a lifestyle, which is, you know, healthy for everyone.
Yeah, we've been doing this morning class on Wednesdays for almost 2 years now. And wow. the people who have been coming from the beginning are like, just that 1 hour a week,
mm-hmm.
they are noticing, you know, real changes in how they walk in the world,
wow.
how they inhabit their own body, their sense of confidence. You know,
awesome.
I'm really interested in, you know, kind of awakening the inner sexiness in us.
Yes, yes. Yeah, you did it. You have a class on that, right? Like an online yeah. class.
Yep, yep. It's This is for men folk. Awaken your inner uh-huh. sexy man, and it's like, you know, who am I if I tap that inner sexiness and I activate it and I walk in the world from that place?
Yeah,
I like to give this homework assignment. You know, for this whole week, every time you walk down the street, just walk like down the street like you're the sexiest guy in the street.
Oh, I love it.
That isn't competition to anybody else, but just like, sure. what does it feel like to be like, who am I? How am I? How would I walk? How would I feel?
Mm.
You know, like kind of fake it till you make it, like activate it from within and experience yeah. it and see what happens.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh, that sounds like so much fun. That's awesome. But it's really, you know, I mean, I think it's like, you know, when I see kids, they're so embodied, they're so tactile, mm-hmm. they're so like sharing their affection with each other, and somewhere along the line we kind of like get conditioned out mm-hmm. of it, and it feels like, you know, embracing your inner sexiness and all of these practices are just kind of returning us to our organic nature, really.
Yes, exactly right. It's just an invitation to be in relationship with that beautiful, buoyant life mm-hmm. force energy, the erotic. Yes. You know,
yes.
Jean Houston, her great book, I forget the name of the book. Oh no. The Search for the Beloved by Jean Houston. Mm. She talks about erotic energy or eros as the lure of muchness, where we are spiced and seated and activated and evoked into becoming, right? It's this umbrella of, you know, if I've got access to my own erotic energy, my life force energy, and it's in my body. It informs everything. It informs.
It does
every sense. It forms how I eat food and it might mm-hmm. like create creative work life. Everything. It's an umbrella, not just sex. You know.
Yes. Yes. I think that is the, you know, that's kind of the misunderstanding that people have about eros and erotic energy. I mean, it really is the aliveness, you know, yes. that informs everything, as you said, you know, our intuition, our creativity, our love, just a love for our fellow being, you know, all of that. Yes. I'm curious during your, I want people to get a sense of the body electric. And because, you know, when I did my workshop back in 1990, I think it was just workshops for men. And yeah. 25 years ago, it's really evolved into all genders. There's a lot of BIPOC workshops. There's a lot of, yeah. you know, all women workshops. I mean, it's really for everyone. And I've yep. been so impressed because I saw on the website, like a whole thing, like a Jedi committee on justice, equity, diversity, mm-hmm. inclusion. You know, you guys support like violence against women, land acknowledgement mm-hmm. of indigenous peoples. It's really incredible. I'd love to know during your tenureship as director, like what was it like for you to step in, you know, from being a participant to assistant to faculty, and then stepping into guiding this incredible, yeah. you know, like this incredible force. And during your tenureship, like, I'm curious how, like, where was the energy guiding you to lead it?
Yeah, God, that's a, yeah, it was a wild ride. And, You know, let me first say that it wasn't just me. It was many people. There were a lot of incredible people who love Body Electric, who care about it so much. And, you know, I think that Body Electric at that time, really when I started imagining stepping into offering some leadership, it was probably like spring of 2018. And at that time, I think the school was in a period of some contraction. Like it had, you know, I think it's, you know, the next year is our 40th anniversary of Body Electric.
Wow.
It started And over the years, it expanded and contracted and, you know,
different
directors and different this and that. And I think that the owner at that time was really ready to get out and was we're kind of trying to investigate a way to do that. And so, and also it had also, Body Electric had always been, organized as a privately owned company, not in, mostly because of the nature of the work. It seems simpler in some ways, but it always felt like it wanted to be a not-for-profit organization. It's a community organization. It's an educational, you know, organization. So when I stepped in with a group of other people to imagine this transition from the former owner, we knew that we wanted to transition it into a not-for-profit organization.
I see.
Because, you know, the truth is that there's a lot of people. Yeah, it was huge. And there's a lot of people who've been impacted by Body Electric. And, you know, so in some ways we had some really generous people supporting us because their lives had been touched by the work.
Of course. Totally.
And so it took maybe like to the beginning of 2019 to get the deal and the contract. And we purchased the school from the former owner. And then basically myself and this amazing woman named Sarah Belzeal and our great friend, Andres Cordero, basically ran the school for 2019. And we kind of like to say that we were, you know, trying to, you know, fix and drive a car going 80 miles an hour, you know, because we didn't stop any programming and we just had to go into this transition of it. Wow. And so we spent that year just getting our sea legs of 2019 on how do we do this? And we built the board of directors and we applied for our not-for-profit status and all of that. And it took a year to get the not-for-profit status. And I was, that was lots of sleepless nights for me because I was like in this Trump era, like maybe they're going to say no to the nature of the work and all of this. And we had to go through like a pass-through organization for the donation. I mean, it was just a huge experience. And luckily we had this very dedicated advisory group that met every week who really held it together, all of us. And then COVID hits.
Of course.
And there goes, you know, like with everybody, there goes the business model. But we had had a desire to create an online experience for Body Electric that we called Bringing Body Electric Home. And again, it's because like what, you know, what Body Electric did really well was bring people to these amazing peak experiences, but there wasn't a lot in between.
I see.
Which sometimes
I see.
Felt like not responsible almost sometimes, you know, like,
I understand.
Like how do we bring, you know, but it was like, you know, here we are, this is what we can do. But so basically when COVID hit, we just slapped like a zillion online classes up and people were so desirous of connection. Like I taught a class that I developed called Taoist Eroticism and I taught it probably like 16 times in 2020.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my God.
And they were filled because people were just like, I need to be in connection. And all of those classes were about like, how do I cultivate a self-pleasure practice? You know, we did like anal pleasure classes. How do you learn how to pleasure yourself anally? We did art and Eros. We did lots of things. We tried all kinds of different experiments. And the online experience allowed us to be experimental. And it checked a lot of boxes for us to kind of make it through COVID until we got back to in-person workshops in 2021. So that was a huge thing. And then another major thing that was happening was, you know, I'm 53 years old and I was the youngest teacher by far. And all the other teachers were like mid-60s or older. And we needed to train this next generation. So we brought in 15 people.
Wow.
All genders, all bodies, all races, all cultural ethnicities. And we were just like, all right, like, you know, and so now we have those people teaching our workshops.
Oh my gosh.
And there was a huge desire, of course, to, you know, Body Electric has always typically been like white gay men, mostly. And and we were like, look, you know, we need to broaden this. We need to do our work. We need to figure out how to welcome other kinds of people into this experience. So we started, you know, we've started experimenting with, you know, men of color body electric mm-hmm. workshops. We're actually having mm-hmm. our first BIPOC women of color one in June. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all genders. I mean, the women's work started really in the 90s. So that's been happening for a long time. And okay. so has the all genders work. You know what I mean? That's been mm-hmm. happening for a long time. And we just kind of have been continuing to grow it and expand it. And we did a big, you know, retreat, a visioning retreat in 2019. And one of the biggest kind of communal pieces of wisdom that came from the experience, almost shamanically, mm-hmm. was body electric is for everyone.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's a gift mm-hmm. to the world. And if mm-hmm. that's true that it's for everyone, then we need mm-hmm. to do our work to figure out how to make these spaces safe and accessible mm-hmm. to lots of different kinds of people who experience their eroticism differently. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, what you're offering is such a gift to any embodied erotic being, you know, yes. regardless of, you know, just what you said, ethnicity or gender or anything. And so to make it available to every erotic being who's willing is just feels right, you know, because yeah. it is such a gift that you guys have cultivated. But Craig, I'm kind of blown away that during a 4-year tenure, you went from a private to nonprofit, right? You have kind of like, made it multi-generational, because as you said, you were the youngest teacher, you know, now you've got like a new generation of teachers, and you've really like expanded, you've broadened the appeal to, you know, really anyone of any, you know, like any being, you know, much less go through COVID and like navigate that whole thing. That is amazing. That is amazing.
Well, there was a lot of people who worked very hard and who love the work and are dedicated to it. It was far from just me. And, you know, for whatever reasons, because I was like positioned as I was, and I was a teacher for the school and I had had all these different jobs. I knew the school, you know, it made sense that I was the director at that time when, you know what I mean? But, you know, our board of directors is incredible. You know, there's so much that people have given and still continue to, you know, we have a new director, wonderful man named Tom Kovach, who's taken on the directorship of the school. Mm-hmm. And I trust him so much. And he is such a good man. And he knows and loves the work. And that's what's most important.
Yeah. Yeah. That is the most important. So I'm curious, you know, during this time of when it's almost like permission to experiment online to see, you know, I'm guessing that, you know, the body electric, like I'm guessing people found you from all over the world. I'm guessing.
So many more hundreds and thousands of people started getting to know us and getting, and, you know, because, you know, guess what? You know, stepping in as your first experience to a naked weekend is a big step for people.
Exactly.
For some people, it's the biggest step.
Exactly.
So the online thing allows us this onboarding piece where they get to know us and they go, what is this about? And then they get to know us, right? So, and there's all kinds of interesting classes. Like I just, this wonderful erotic educator, psychotherapist in New York, Don Shuey. He and I just for the second time finished an online class called, we call it the 30-Day Porn Cleanse, the pause that refreshes.
Nice.
So it's like, what's the experiment of getting space from my porn habit? What happens? What liberates, right? Myself and this wonderful teacher in Seattle, Mark Fleming, a couple times I've taught a class called Healing Body Shame for LGBTQ men. You know, and there's lots of really interesting experiments in the online world. So it gives us a lot of options.
Yeah, totally. I mean, what a way to take that opportunity and really experiment and run with it. That's terrific. But before you get off of the class that you and Don taught, you know, about the 30-day porn cleanse, I think there are going to be listeners who would like to know what the 30-day cleanse revealed or what people discovered about their bodies or their habits.
Well, I think that we are creatures of habit.
Indeed.
And if we just have to step back and look at it, it's like if I just think about how I engage with pornography, and if I can just look at it through the lens of this is just a habit, take away the judgment, take away the, oh, this is wrong or bad or whatever people experience, and just watch it. Oh, I have a habit, and I have a habit where it's at the end of the day and I'm tired and I want to go to sleep and I throw on the screen and I watch something and da 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 da. And then and notice it and go like, well, what's the impact? How does it impact my energy, my body? How does it impact my connection with other people, my sex life? Mm-hmm. That, you know, it can have an impact, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is we invite people to create their own experiment. Like some people are like, I'm not watching porn for 30 days. Mm-hmm. And guess what happens? Feelings arise. Mm-hmm. Things that mm-hmm. they haven't, you know, using porn as a way to disconnect or to distract. Mm-hmm. You know, feelings come up. Like I noticed we did it for the first time at the beginning of 2022. And it felt like a lot of people, what was coming up for folks was a lot of unexpressed grief.
Wow.
Grief from COVID, grief from whatever. Sure. It's a mm-hmm. lot of that. So it's like what arises when I don't have this thing that I'm using to manage my feelings.
Right.
Right. That's one thing.
Some people are like, that's a huge thing.
It's a huge thing. I mean, it's massive.
Yeah, it's huge. And I wonder the degree to which people realize that they are avoiding, that they're using porn to avoid their feelings. They're not going to it to get sexually turned on, but they're, you know, underneath that, it's to avoid whatever feelings are coming up.
Yeah, definitely can be. And so then the question, of course, again, it goes back to how do I learn to befriend my feelings? How do I learn to stay? What's the value mm-hmm. of that? Mm-hmm. Right, because you know, if we're going to the distraction, it numbs us, and if it numbs us in some places, it numbs us everywhere, and that means less joy, less pleasure, right? You know, some people were like, "Well, I'm still going to watch porn, but I'm just going to be really intentional and conscious in my body when I do it. I'm going to breathe when I do it. I'm going to move mm-hmm. when I do it. I'm going to see what mm-hmm. that's like." You know, so different people had different experiments, but mm-hmm. what was best about it, and which is best about it, is the beautiful honesty and vulnerability of the people who take the class, where they just come and they go, wow, like I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. And I'm hearing people share their struggles with this and I'm resonating with it. And, mm-hmm. you know, again, it's like I come in with my own stuff, but I'm in this with other people.
Yeah. 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 That's such a healing balm, isn't it? I mean, when it comes to sexuality, I think so much of the shame comes from people thinking they're the only one, that they're a freak, or that they're the only one. They have, you know, that they're only one thinking about these weird fantasies, or they have these weird habits, or whatever it is. And to realize, no, you're not the only one. It's actually very common. Maybe it's the norm, you know, it just kind of like takes the sting out.
Yeah. You say shame dies in the light.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Craig, I'm curious where, so I know you had a 4-year stint as director, and
a little less than 4, almost 4.
A little less than 4. I'm curious where you feel like the Body Electric is going from here, and where are you personally going from here? Because that's a big shift in your own life to, you know, to step down as director.
Yeah. You know, Body Electric, I've often felt and I've said, has its own Shakti. Like, I feel like mm-hmm. Body Electric has its own consciousness. It has its own desire for how it wants to be in the world. Mm-hmm. And it happens through people. It happens through the people. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think that Body Electric will continue to offer the tried and true workshops that have been honed over many, many years. And I think that's good. I think we need to hold on to what works in terms of the architecture of humans and their eroticism. Mm-hmm. I think Body Electric will keep the ways that we continue to really deeply care for our participants, you know, mm-hmm. as a baseline. You know, there's lots of places it's going, you know, different kinds of containers, you know, we're imagining, like you said, you know, things for people of color, just for people of color, or maybe spaces that are just for non-binary or trans folks, just creating lots of spaces where people feel welcome to explore themselves. You know, I think that's the key, and it can look a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, cool. I would love it to go more internationally. I mean, we are in Australia and Canada, and we have been in Israel. And, but, you know, it wants to go abroad, and I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm as curious as you are to see where it's going to go, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and for me personally, I just, you know, I'm still teaching for the school. I'm the host of our podcast, which you're going to be on.
Yes. Yes.
The Erotic Liberation Podcast, which is a joy. Yes. And, you know, I've basically, you know, my soul, my spirit, my inner self has been calling for me to cast out on my own. I'm a coach. And, you know, I'm in this place right now of really building my coaching practice where I'm supporting people in, I guess what I would call cultivating their soul habit.
Wonderful.
You know, centering their deepest longings and their connection with self as a way, as a foundation for their beautiful lives. And I'm excited about that, you know. So I'm teaching, I'm teaching my own workshops, my own things that I love. One thing that I really love and care about is, and I've done this with Body Electric, and I've done it outside of Body Electric too, is I'm teaching a course down in Asheville called Creativity and Eroticism. So like, that's my dream. You know, it's like if we tap and raise this pleasure energy and this tribal communal experience and then paint or write or move.
Yes.
Art, who am I? What can I be? Who am I as a creative being? That's what I love. And I want to do that all over the world. I want to do that like for a week in Bali or wherever.
That's
where I'm going. So.
Cool. Yeah. I feel the excitement in your body as you share that. That's really, really wonderful. I mean, two things really, like what you spoke about as far as like, you know, your private coaching practice of getting people in touch with their deepest longing, you know, they're like meeting their deepest, you know, erotic core and living from that place. Like, wow, that's like it, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, to invite people to create from that erotic joy. Oh, I just imagine the energy radiating from the art, you know. How can people find you?
CraigCullinane.com or on Facebook. Yeah.
Okay. So, Craig Cullinane, so that's CullinaneE.
Yep, Craig Cullinane. So I'm kind of launching my website right now. So if you go there, you're going to see some landing pages of some stuff I've done. But you can connect to me from that place. Or also I'm on Facebook and cool. Craig Cullinane Coaching on Facebook. But I'm going to have my beautiful website that this wonderful man is helping me with. I'm excited about. And so it's growing, it's building. Or you could, you know, maybe find me through the Body Electric website. But
sure,
I would. Yeah. So that's how.
Awesome. Awesome. I look forward to seeing the incredible website, and I will know that this person has created it from his erotic core.
Yes. And I'm so excited to have you as our guest on the Erotic Liberation Podcast.
Yeah, I'm excited about that too. It's right around the corner. It'll be so much fun. Craig, thank you so much for being with us today. I just really honor your path and,
thank you.
You know, yeah. And just, you know, what you had to share with us today it goes to the principles of so much of what the Body Electric, holds space for, which is simple, but profound and really, you know, what I wish for everyone. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. It's such a pleasure. I really appreciate this conversation. Thank you.
How are the themes from this interview landing in your body right now? Are there ways you can bring more sacredness to your experiences of your sexuality, whether in your self-pleasuring rituals or lovemaking experiences? Are there ways to cultivate deepening your heart connection with yourself and with your lover or lovers during your erotic expression? Are there ways your exploration of your sexuality for yourself can also serve as an act of liberating erotic aliveness for the world? Links to the Body Electric, Craig's coaching services, and the Erotic Liberation Podcast are all in the show notes. Wishing everyone a happy and blessed Lunar New Year and eternal blessings to your erotic aliveness and liberation. Until next time, take good care.